This podcast was recorded on Gadigal land. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay our respects to elders both past and present. Always was, always will be.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first ever, the inaugural episode of My Mom's a Sex Therapist. My name is Claude. I use they, them pronouns, and this is my lovely mother, Jacqueline.
Yes, and I am the sex therapist. My pronouns are she, her.
Excellent work. We love that inclusivity.
Thank you,
darling. Thank
you. So. Yeah, here we are.
We've started a podcast.
We have.
Do you want to tell the people why? Why are we here today?
Why we're here today? Because our sexuality is such a fundamental part of who we are, and people are confused and don't know what to do. And I've dedicated my life to specializing in everything to do with sex, love, and intimacy, as you well know, because it's been part of your life the whole way along, hasn't it?
Yeah. How many years is that? 20 years?
Over 20 years.
You've been a sex therapist for 20 years. Do you want to quickly drop your accreditations?
Ah, good idea. Yes, because I do think it's important that the listeners and viewers realize that I actually know what I'm talking about. Lots and lots of qualifications. A ridiculous number, really. I have 5 university qualifications, 4 science ones, 4 of them at the postgraduate level. So, yes, I do have a master's degree in sexology, specializing in psychosexual therapy. And I also have another master's of science degree in consciousness, spirituality, and transpersonal psychology. Because my spin on sexuality is that it's incredibly holistic. It's not just about what's happening down there. It's not just behaviors that happen sometimes sort of separate from life. It's actually about the whole of life. It's how we engage with life. It really is about love life, loving life, having a love life, being in touch with a really fundamental life force.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting as well, because we all do come from sex. We all come from orgasm.
We do.
But we do not see it as a fundamental part of life and having a full
orgasms in your part, darling.
Oh, on the rock. On the rock.
On the rock, you have seen the conception.
I have. I was taken on a bushwalk one time when I was, I don't know, a teenager. And little did I know that halfway through the bushwalk, my mum would point to a rock and tell me where my life began.
Indeed, indeed. A very happy moment it was too.
Oh, wait, we haven't talked about me.
No, I was thinking that too.
We need to talk about me. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, listeners. My name is Claude. I'm 22 years old. I am a Capricorn. And I have 1 university degree, bachelor's degree in sound engineering, which is coming in very handy
now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I also work for another company doing their socials and managing their business. And I've recently been employed by Jacqueline Hellier as her technical and style coordinator.
Yes.
Coordinator. Together we've decided to make this podcast because there is a bit of gap in knowledge about sex and sexuality. But it's also a gap in knowledge about how parents and children can communicate sex.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it is the start of our lives and our relationship together. And for some reason, our society has just decided that that's it. Mm-hmm. Once the egg has been fertilized, sex is no longer part of the parent-child relationship. And I think that's incorrect.
I think it's slightly absurd, actually.
Yes, very absurd. Obviously, for me, ever since I was conscious, or even potentially before I was conscious, my mother has been relatively upfront about sexuality. Not upfront, just
comfortable.
Comfortable, yes. It was never hidden.
Yeah.
Sex has never been hidden for me. I got a little bit of shame in put onto me by like society and being socialized as a woman and stuff, which is unavoidable, but I still think I'm better off than a large part of the population. And I do think that's largely down to how you raised me and how sex has been part of my life.
Mm.
And it's not been like I was taught what sex was as a small child. It's more just like it was never yeah, hidden away from me.
Yeah, it was just there. If it popped up in conversation, it's just very normal.
Yeah. And it did pop up in conversation a little bit throughout my, like, because I have a brother who's 8 years older than me, and so I noticed that he would bring girls home and stuff, and I guess I always had an awareness of love and intimacy, but it didn't really become sex as the idea of sex until I would say I was like 13 or 14,
mm-hmm.
which I think is normal for people.
Absolutely, it's normal.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just think that's an interesting point, that even though I was raised in a very sex positive, sex open household, it still didn't become like at the forefront of my mind until I was going through puberty, I guess.
Yeah. It was just talked about as was appropriate, as was led by you. Yeah. It's not like I forced you to talk about it or exposed you to stuff that you weren't ready for. It was as you were ready, and your brothers. It was talked about, and talked about in an age-appropriate way. I mean, there were times that you wouldn't remember when you were very little and asking about, like, where did babies come from?
What did you tell me? Do you remember those conversations?
I can't remember specifically, but I remember that it was always led by you. Like, I'd give, like, simple little responses, like, well, daddy plants a seed in mummy's tummy and then the baby grows. Yeah, goes into a little egg in mummy's tummy. And then if you or your brothers wanted to know more, well, then I'd explain a little bit more. But very often it was just like, oh, okay.
See, you don't make your children sexual when you talk about sex.
No, in fact, studies have shown that when children are brought up sex positive by their parents, they actually have sex later, they have fewer partners, they definitely have fewer STDs and fewer unwanted pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually makes them, well, because it helps you make better choices.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I still think I had my phase of making terrible choices.
That's called growing up, darling.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really important.
Yes, I think so too. You're welcome, people. Beautiful listeners. Can't wait until we come up with a name for our listeners. I think that'll come.
I'm sure you'll come up with some kind of pun.
Oh, yes. In this podcast, I want us to have some regular segments so the listeners know what to expect. And indeed. So we don't just ramble.
Right. Yes. Rambling is good.
Yes.
A bit of structure
structured
is helpful.
Rambling. Yeah,
structured
yeah.
Rambling. Yes.
So beautiful listeners, the first part or the first segment of our podcast is going to be, drum roll, please. Erotic moments.
Aha! Erotic moments.
This podcast is a weekly podcast, and so I think it would be fitting if we talked about our week.
Yes.
Specifically, an erotic moment that has occurred.
Indeed.
Would you like to explain or define to our beautiful listeners what erotic is?
What is erotic? Okay, so this is how I define erotic. And what it is, we need to understand that the sexual energy is our life force energy, because sex comes from life. Mm-hmm. It's the definition of life. It is created by sex and then eventually dies, hopefully having procreated so that life keeps going. So it is a vital life force. And when we're in touch with this, it's like this really positive thing that rises up in our body. And that becomes erotic because we're in touch with what's going on around. We're really embodied here and we're in touch with life. Yeah? So it doesn't have to be in relation to another person. It doesn't have to result even in, you know, like sexual arousal. And it certainly doesn't have to result in sexual behavior. But there's this just really deep sense of, oh, nice.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, because sex and erotic are like in the zeitgeist, I suppose, or in our society, has been really othered. It's a behavior, something that you do like outside of your life, you know, like going for a run or whatever.
Yeah.
But sex isn't separate from life. It is a part of your life. It's a part of living a fulfilling life.
The sexual energy is a creative energy.
And
it's creating our life. If we're separate from our life force, if we're separate from anything below here, as so many modern Westerners are, you're not in touch with that creative force.
And I think that's mirrored in a few different ancient traditions, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
The chakras and the Taoist views, mm-hmm. and yeah, cool. Mm. So, yes. Do you want to go first, or should I go first? I'll go first.
You go first. Yes. Okay.
Mine's, I think, cool. So I am in a long distance relationship with my beautiful partner, who shall remain anonymous until he gives me consent.
Indeed.
And yeah, so we're long distance, and how we manage that is through having these weekly check-in meetings. Essentially what we do is we just come together with a bunch of questions that we ask each other about how we're doing in the relationship and in our lives. It's obviously difficult to know because we're not together all the time. Earlier this week, I was in a negative mental health space, doing my best. Mm-hmm. And the weekly meeting aligned with my terrible mental health. Well, not just bad brain day. Let's just call it. It was bad brain day.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have any questions because I couldn't access anything, because all I was focused on was how he's not interested in me anymore and how he's losing interest and how I've become boring. Or
you?
I know. It seems so illogical now, but like I couldn't even access my actual thoughts and feelings because I was just too upregulated, I think. But essentially what I said to him was basically exactly that. I was just like, I've been doing a lot of convincing myself that you're not interested in me anymore and that long distance is just getting in the way of us progressing our relationship. And his response was just immediate, like, what do you mean? What have I done that makes you feel that way? What am I don't understand, which is usually his reaction when I say things like this.
Man.
First of all, I think it was a neurotic moment because I found the strength and courage to express myself in that way.
Yes, which, that's using the life force to be brave.
Yeah.
Yeah, and self-express.
But also like in tune with my like actual feelings at the core, rather than like the shame that was like lying on top. Like I had to really understand why I was feeling that way, you know? Yeah. And it was from a lack that I had put on myself. Mm. I was feeling very vulnerable and having to search inside myself for the truth, and then also being able to express that truth, but then having that met in just like the most beautiful way ever. Like I felt so seen.
Yeah.
I knew that I was already in tune with my feelings, but having him, an outside perspective, be able to see me in that, it was really just super validating.
Mm.
And it did honestly make me feel a lot better, like expressing myself and having him just be like, you're a silly goose. So yeah, that was probably my most erotic, in tune with myself moment this week.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for being vulnerable again to me, but also to our audience.
Yeah.
And I think that is so beautiful because it does get in touch. Often what I say to people, thank you, darling, good thing you're the technical expert. I do apologize if the sound goes in and out because I usually use my hands a lot. And I've been told to keep it still.
We're going to have to get you a Britney mic. That just like, it's like headset that stays on your head. Yeah.
Give me Britney Brown. Okay. Like a famous pop star. So yes, because so much of sexuality, sure, it's inside us, but it's also between.
Mm.
And particularly if we have a beloved, right? And that was a really beautiful example of this gorgeous energy. But I always say that to be able to share with another and to express who we are and our life and our sexuality, we have to go inside first, right? And so much of our concepts these days around sexuality in particular, it's externally imposed, And so we're sort of trying to match with what we should be out there, right, and finding ourselves wanting. And perhaps that's where you were starting from.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's why I was so dysregulated as well, because I was just confused.
Yeah.
It was like, why am I behaving this way rather than I am behaving this way?
Yeah, exactly. And then you went inside. Mm. And then you got to be brave to do that.
I'm so brave.
You are. Your daughter. And stayed with it. And stayed with, you know, the shame that came up. And then look deeper below it, right? And then you can find yourself love. Because you got to love yourself first. If you don't have that, it's very hard. You just might be just needy, like, love me because I've got a big hole in me. That doesn't work. But you found it within you, so you could trust yourself, and then you could be vulnerable and trust your beloved, right? And that creates a space in which he too can meet you.
Yeah.
Right? And notice that you said he sort of had to get in touch a bit with his shame. Oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
Have I done something wrong? Oh, no. Yeah, like true. that was in the mix as well, yeah?
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And then as a couple, you know, however, you were holding the space for the couple.
Yeah.
It's not just you and me.
The couple bubble.
The couple bubble. Because you, me, and us. So by each of you honoring yourselves, you were able to support the third entity, which is the us.
Look at us
go. Beautiful.
Look at us go. We've actually been working really hard on our relationship, so it's really nice to have someone so accredited to validate all our hard work. Anyway.
Yes.
What was your erotic moment of the week?
Well, mine was totally different to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more of a solo moment.
A solo moment.
A solo moment with everything. So, yesterday evening, I was driving up into the mountains
mm-hmm.
because my dear friends up there were having a bonfire. And I was listening to one of the playlists that you have put together for me.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice little promo there.
Nice little promo for all of the playlists on my Spotify channel.
I'll link them in the show notes, guys.
I was listening to the Wicked playlist,
mm-hmm.
right? And as I'm driving up and it's getting, you know, moving out of the city and into the countryside and the sun is setting and the mountains are appearing, it was just this really beautiful experience. And then the music and some of those pieces, they drop, you know, like there's this heavy bass and I was just feeling it like right in my bass here, you know. And I was just sort of starting to feel this oneness with nature and just this beautiful flow and just this like really gorgeous activation down in, you know, the lower part of my being.
Love that.
Oh, it was just like, yeah, it was me, it was the music, it was nature. And then arriving and there's this huge fire, you know, it's just like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it sounds like you were invigorated.
I was invigorated.
I wonder if there's a link between like deeper bass music and that bass chakra feeling, because I know that I've experienced something like that more. It's not really like it is energizing, but it's not energizing in the way like a cup of coffee is. It's energizing in this like grounding, deep.
Yes.
Like, love life.
Yes.
Yeah, type of way.
Yes.
Cool. Well, I love that you love the playlists.
I do.
I curated them kind of specifically with that effect in mind. So. Yeah.
Well, it worked.
Woo!
It worked.
I love that for you.
Mm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, Mum. Now, this is the section of the podcast where we would, from episode 2, be talking about a blog post that you have written, because Jacqueline here is the queen of content that she hasn't put out yet. And so
well, I have.
Or content that should be more easily available to the larger population, because it is incredible information.
It is. There are over 360, in fact, I think 367 articles at last count, all written by me on the Love Life blog, which I started back in 2010. So that's 14 years of content.
That is a long time. That was when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And I've also recorded all of them on the Love Life podcast. So that's just me reading the audio version.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want to do in this segment, I think, is take one of those and sort of just explore it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use it as a starting point or as subject matter.
Yeah.
Or our discussion.
So if you want to have a look, it's on my website, jacquelinehellier.com. If there's any that you've read or listened to from the podcast and you'd like more information about, we're very open to your input.
Yeah, always. Mm. We have a Instagram page as well that was just started called My Mom's a Sex Therapist.
Yes.
So always send DMs there.
Right.
I'll be on that. In the absence of that segment, we're moving on to the third.
The third.
The third and final segment.
Third and final, wow.
Are we going to say it at the same time? So the third and final segment is myth-busting. Yes, because what is there a lot of in sex and the ideas of sex?
Myths.
Yeah, so just terrible.
False beliefs.
Rubbish. Misinformation.
Nonsense.
Genitals.
Genitals?
Yeah. Everything is very genital focused in the...
Oh, well, yeah. And that's kind of what we've been talking a little bit about already. That sex is not just about the genitals.
Yep.
Right? Sex is not just what our genitals do.
It's so much more than that.
It is.
We're going to talk about two.
Two?
Yes, I've just decided we're talking about two myths.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what they are. So this is put mum on the spot moment.
The first?
Yes.
We can't have sex unless there's an erection involved.
Ah, that's a good one. Because there really is an awful lot of pressure on penises.
Penis pressure.
And therefore the owner of said penis, because it's all about the penis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There has to be a hard erection like this.
Strong and hard.
Strong and hard.
Throbbing even.
Throbbing. Strong, hard, throbbing erection.
Strong and hard and throbbing.
And all of those penises are already under pressure. Right? And it's supposed to come on like that and it's supposed to stay hard and it's not supposed to ejaculate until just the right moment.
I guess it's also supposed to know exactly what to do.
Oh, of course it's supposed to know. Right? Isn't that what men are supposed to do? Like they're just supposed to, you know, come in on their white chargers and sweep the damsel in distress off her feet and know exactly what to do for her to pleasure her.
And the...
All them.
Yeah. The female or the submissive just...
Goes along.
Takes it. Yeah.
Goes along with it. Well, because he knows exactly what to do.
Exactly.
So, you know, you don't have to speak.
This rock hard penis knows exactly what to do.
Even though this rock hard penis's owner doesn't actually have those genitals, vulvas and vaginas and clitori, etc. Anyway, so that means that there's an awful lot of pressure on said penis owner to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Stay hard, get it right, know what to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, my God, which means they often go have a little bit of a rest.
Meow.
Or just kind of stay away from it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Or do their best and then get really upset when it's not working because they're supposed to know. And sometimes the recipient, you know, the vagina owner, gets a bit annoyed if it's not happening the way that it's supposed to be happening.
Yes.
Yes. But I think what's really important in all of this and going back to the myth that you need an erection – right? It's part of what I call the linear approach
to sex.
Yeah. Right? You've got to do all of this stuff first in order to be able to have intercourse. Penis in vagina.
Heteronormative. We're coming from a heteronormative lens right now.
Yes. Because that's sort of the mainstream as
well.
Yeah. And that's the problem. So, and all of that's called foreplay because it comes before the main event, which is da-da-da-da-da-da. In comes the penis into the vagina, right? Hoping that the time's right. Yeah. And the vagina's owner's so going, I hope they do it at the right time. I hope it's the right time.
Foreplay is just before going into the vagina play.
It implies that there is the main event, right? Which is the intercourse, sexual intercourse, penis in vagina. Yes. Which means if there's any problems with penis being able to welcome to enter the vagina or any problems with the vagina being able to welcome in the penis, it's like, oh, my God, disaster, disaster. Sex is a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely have experienced that before.
Yes. Rather than just going, well, hey, penis is having a rest or vagina doesn't feel like welcoming it or has had enough, what else do we do? And there's certainly plenty of other genital things you can do if you feel like continuing to focus on the genitals. Mm-hmm. But as we're stressing here, it's not just about the genitals.
It's not all about the genitals.
It's about having connection through pleasure, about experiencing pleasure that's connecting.
Yeah.
So have a nice cup of tea and a chat.
Yeah.
Do you know his funny story the other day? When I was running a women's retreat recently.
Okay. She does that how many times a year?
About twice at the moment.
Twice a year.
Yeah, although I have been doing some private ones. Sometimes a bunch of women get together and say, hey, come and give us a retreat. I did one of those just last week. So I was talking to the women in the retreat and I talk about what I call the non-linear approach, which I'm sure we'll get into in another episode quite soon because it's really important. Which is just sort of about, you know, what are you feeling like in the moment? And, you know, so say, you know, so if you want to sort of stop and, you know, have a chat, have a cup of tea, get back into it. Anyway, at one point, I think it must have been on the third day of the retreat, one of them goes, You know when you say stop and have a cup of tea, you literally mean stop and have a cup of tea, don't you? And I'm like, yeah. And she went, wow, like I thought we thought it was sort of a metaphor, stop and have a cup of tea. But you mean you actually stop lovemaking and go make a cup of tea? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring it back to bed, have a bit of a chat, drink your tea, and then continue. And they were like, whoa, whoa. Like so many people say when I'm working with them, like, whoa, that's just turning my whole concept of sex upside down and inside out. Whoa. And then big smiles because it just gives you so much freedom.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off.
Takes all the pressure off. It's just whatever it happens to be in the moment. Fantastic. Love it too.
So take the pressure off your penises.
Yes.
The message.
Indeed.
And the myth busting to surmise is you do not need an erection to have sex.
No.
You just need to connect through pleasure.
Indeed.
In order to have sex.
Yes.
And whatever that looks like to you guys.
In that moment.
In that moment, yeah. Yes. It's beautiful.
It is.
And meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be honest, open, all those other lovely things.
Indeed.
I'm just going to have a quick cup of tea.
While we're talking about a cup of tea, indeed.
Oh,
cheers to that, darling.
So the second myth is that lesbians cannot have sex. Or that lesbian sex is not... What should the word be?
I don't know. Real?
Yeah, real.
Yeah.
Lesbian sex is this like secret that no one knows what it is.
Well, they don't have a penis.
Yeah. How can lesbians have sex?
Oh my God, because it's all about the penis. Well, this is exactly the same as the previous myth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can you have sex without a penis? Well, have a cup of tea and a chat.
Yeah,
you know, I often say anything that you're doing with a beloved or with someone that you're interested in that you would not do with someone else, that's sharing this kind of like nice sexual erotic frisson type energy between you, as far as I'm concerned, that's sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Tango, dance with a stranger,
well,
that can be sex.
Well, it's got that eroticism to it. Yeah. Wouldn't label it as sex.
Oh,
but
no.
It's still, yeah, like there's so many ways we can experience that.
So what would you label as sex? Just give the people some examples.
Well, like if we're talking about two women who are making love,
mm-hmm.
two lesbians, or potentially more, right? And they're having a cuddle puddle, right? They're just in there. They're just enjoying their bodies, touch, taste, sense, smell, pleasuring. There may well be some orgasms involved because it's stimulation of various body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that. Until they've had enough.
There you go, guys. That's beautiful. How lesbians have sex.
That's how everyone.
That's how everyone has sex. Yeah.
Right. And you use whatever you feel like using, whether it's your conversation, your hands, your mouths, your genitals, your toes, I don't know, props.
Yeah. And I guess also what's coming up through these myths is that sex is constantly changing. Like, yeah. Your definition of sex, it's fluid.
Yes.
Absolutely. There's no one definition. It changes like person to person, but also moment by moment.
It does.
So, yeah, it's just important that we're talking about these things.
It is. And that comes back to what we were saying right at the beginning when you shared that lovely example of that intimate moment with your beloved. It's like, what am I experiencing right now? What am I wanting to share, to express? And you share that with each other moment by moment, whether you're having a beautiful conversation like you were or whether you're naked in bed having all sorts of lovely play.
Mm.
It's like, this is where I'm at. Where are you at? What are we co-creating in this moment?
Co-creating.
It's a co-creation moment by moment.
Love that word. Love that word.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yay.
Look at us go.
That's it.
First pod done.
Woohoo!
Woo!
High five there, babe.
Woo. So, just to surmise, you can find Jacqueline on Instagram at jacqueline.hellier.
Yes.
There's lots of really excellent content up there created by yours truly.
Yeah. Social media manager. And our new, the new page,
yes,
new one.
And we've started a new Instagram specifically for podcast things. Get a cheeky little BTS moment. A few little reels.
A cheeky little what?
B BTS moment.
Oh my God, that is millennial talk, Gen Z talk. What is BTS, darling? Because there's going to be all generations watching this
BTS show. BTS is behind the scenes.
Oh, okay. I'm so cool. So if you want to see a bit of BTS,
yeah,
just go to the page. Is it called a page in Instagram?
Yeah.
Go to
our Instagram page. My mom's a sex therapist. We'll also be having a Q&A segment to this podcast, hopefully. So I will, if you want to drop some questions, you can either DM us or reply to my stories that I will be putting up. Always welcoming feedback.
Always.
So DM us, email us.
This is a conversation between you and us as much as it is between us. Mm,
exactly. And if you're wanting to see more specific about my mum, you can find her on the internet at
www.jacquelinehellier.com.
And what's on that page?
Oh gosh, there's lots of stuff. So access to my clinic, the Love Life Clinic, to all my retreats.
Clinic, she is a practicing sex therapist as well with one-on-one sessions.
Yes, sex and relationship.
Sex and relationship therapist.
One-on-two as well, lots of couples. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I have other therapists working there with me. The retreats, the Love Life retreats for couples and for women. There are courses on there, online courses you can do, and we're going to be filming some more soon.
Woo!
And then all of my socials, so the blog, the other podcasts and videos, lots of content.
Yeah, queen of content strikes again, guys.
Queen of content. And now this beautiful person is helping me get all of that content out to the broader world. So very
exciting.
You're
so welcome. Well, I think that was a success.
Woo-hoo!
I had a lot of fun.
Did you?
Yes.
So did I.
Ah!
We're going to be back.
Our beautiful intro and outro was created by
Paul Seals.
Hit Paul up if you want some beautiful audiovisual stuff. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yay.
Every Wednesday/Thursday.
Oh, depending where you are in the world, because this is going worldwide.
Yeah.
We're going to change the world.
Yep. So we'll see you guys next week. Bless your beautiful ears every Wednesday/Thursday. But until then.
Yep. Love life.
Hope you love your life.